Hello, and welcome to Teen Talk Online.
Welcome to Teen Talk, brought to you by Contact Community Services. This program is dedicated to discussing your issues and promoting teen voices for good choices. We want to hear what you have to say, so call our listener comment line at 1-800-245-TEEN. That's 1-800-245-8336. Listen to us online. You can find a link to our Facebook page and on our website, teentalkradio.org.
Hello and welcome to Teen Talk. I'm Sarah, and today I'm joined by teen hosts Dylan and Jess. Our show topic for today is the Semicolon Project, and coming up, we'll discuss suicide prevention and mental health with our guest, Jamel. So let's start out with a question for Jamel. Jamel, it is my understanding that suicide and suicide prevention is a topic that is very important to you. Can you tell us more about that?
Definitely. I personally dealt with thoughts and ideas of suicide, so I find it very, very important to try to spread any type of information that could possibly help anyone deal with anything that may be going on in their lives, even think or contemplate this thought or idea. I personally would like to express that people don't necessarily have to feel that no one is there, rather than friends, family, or just any counseling type situation. No one has ever feel like they're alone. There's always someone they can talk to. So when you say, is it important? I say it's very, very close to myself and my family.
What did you turn to help you while you were struggling?
I personally had two close friends that I've known both of them over 10 years. Smiled in their face daily and depressed every night. Literally dealing with my own issues and what I call my own problems. But it got to a point where there was too many occasions when I was contemplating myself. Didn't tell my family, didn't really tell anyone. And one night I actually broke down and actually called both my friends on three-way. And we all met up at a private location. We just talked it out literally for about 3 to 4 hours.
Would you say that experience has shaped you as a person?
It made me stronger, a lot stronger. It takes a strong person to admit you have an issue or a problem or you're dealing with something. Anyone can walk around and smile all day and hide what's really going on the inside. But it takes someone really strong to actually come forward and say, this is what my problem, this is what's hurting, and try to seek help and be better, and that's exactly what I did. I dealt with it for, I would say, a year on my own, and then when it got really bad, I spoke with my friends, and I was able to speak with them whenever something was going on, no matter what time, or day or night, or whatever, and eventually, probably like a year later, I ended up speaking with my immediate family about the situation.
What are some reasons that you think teens or people in general may hide their feelings of depression or hide their suicide ideations?
Well, for me, it was back in high school. Who wanted to be known as the depressed dude that's always walking around angry or mad at the world or sad or whatever the emotion may be? Especially as a man, we're always taught to keep our emotions hidden or keep it buried in. Think about when someone in your family passes away, or when you're a child, someone takes your toy. The older men in your family or someone in your family might tell you to man up. That phrase, it might be something they say, but it can be the most hurtful thing, because you get so used to bottling up emotions at that young age that by the time you get older, it becomes a custom. So when something is wrong, it's harder to say something is wrong, because you're always told to quote-unquote man up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen a lot of depression in like males too, because society tells us that we're supposed to be like strong and brave and everything, and like when we're not, we get criticized for it. And that's like, that's what adds to like the entire problem, I think.
I agree 100%. I grew up in a family athlete. And everyone basically liked basketball, football, baseball, lacrosse, you know, the usual. I found more of a passion for football, but more than football, I love music. So I would say I was criticized for picking music over that. And it's just the little things like that. Like, music is like one of the most popular things in the world. You can go anywhere and sing or play or whatever you do. But if it's not what's considered, quote, unquote, family enough, then, of course, they frown upon it. It's all that macho alpha male mentality that I constantly speak against. Now, I let everybody know it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to be who you are.
Yeah.
And what you were saying with the music can be used as therapy. They have music therapy now, so it helps a lot of people in different ways.
And as Jamal was saying, I think it's really important to clarify for all of our listeners out there that no matter what your gender, race, religion, sexual orientation, regardless of who you are, everyone can struggle with mental illness, and it's really important to not be ashamed, to remain strong, and to come out about it like Jamal did, which, as you said, has helped him a lot. Speak to an adult or your friend that you trust and just really work through it with them. Like, no one is alone, and Jamal is living proof that you can get through it.
Even if you think you're alone, there's always someone at school or in your community that can help you.
Yeah, someone's always there to care for you.
Yeah, and someone will always love you and will want you to feel like you belong.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, like, an aspect of depression is feeling worthless and feeling like nobody loves you. But you have to set depression aside and think about yourself. Like, you are not your depression. You are not your anxiety. You are not your mental illness. You are you. And it's hard to remember that at times, but as long as you keep that in mind, it's definitely possible to overcome whatever you're going through.
Jamal, you said that that night you called two of your friends. You had a conference call, and then you guys got together and talked things out for like 3 or 4 hours. Was there anything that either one of them said to you that night that has stood out in your mind since then, that maybe you've latched on to, that has been really helpful to you, or anything really profound that they've said?
First off, I couldn't even form the words over the phone.
Uh-huh.
So I asked them, could we meet up? We all lived literally like within 2 minutes on each other. So it was nothing for us to all walk to a neutral location.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually ended up walking to our old school, and we just sat out front and talked. The first thing that I remember is my female friend, she looked at me and, like, she laughed, but it wasn't like a laugh like, ha-ha. It was a laugh like, wait, are you serious? Like, she was like, she started laughing, and her laughter turned to tears, and she, like, started wailing. She was like, I spend every day, we spend hours together, movies, and going out to eat, and all of this, and we've known each other since we were, like, 10 years old. She was like, but it did that. She basically said she would have lost it, but, and for somebody who I cared for that much, honestly, I couldn't even consider her a friend. It was almost like she was family. And when you're dealing with those situations, you hardly think about who you're leaving behind or who you would affect. And to see how messed up she was just me talking about it, it put in perspective of, think about my friends, think about my family, think about those who you would leave behind. No matter what you're hurting, what you're feeling, if you can't think of anything else, think of how they will feel knowing that they could have done something. They felt like they could have been helpless if you go to the extent of taking their own life. And I know they made it clear that, like, it doesn't matter what, where they are, what time, wherever, pick up the phone and call and walk over to their house, it doesn't matter. And they made it clear that they were there. No matter what was going on, nothing was too hard that I couldn't talk about it or talk it out with them. And honestly, her expression, her reaction to me sharing what I told her, that is what stuck in my head. That's all I shared.
Mm-hmm. Jamal, have you ever heard of the Semicolon Project?
I recently just heard of it.
Do you know what it's about?
I heard a little bit. I don't know to the full extent everything, but I did hear that it was for prevention and to help those who are dealing with thoughts or parents with them.
Yeah. Well, what's really cool about it is that the semicolon represents moving forward in your life when you could have stopped. And, you know, that's what we're talking about here today. You know, sometimes it's really hard to stay hopeful, and programs like the Semicolon Project and Contact Community Services are extremely important sources of strength for anyone out there. A suicide prevention line that I would like to provide the number of is 1-800-273-TALK, and anyone who is contemplating suicide or is struggling with something and needs someone to talk to, feel free to call that number. Now, does anyone have any information they'd like to share about the Semicolon Project?
For the Semicolon Project, it's not just for people who are having problems with thoughts of suicide. It's for everyone who self-harms, is suicidal, depressed, has anxiety, is unhappy, or just lost a loved one, or anyone who wants to support a friend or family member or someone they know that is going through any of that. And that's how the project kind of started, is to raise awareness for mental health and those different mental health issues.
Yeah, like what you were saying, Dylan and Jamel, there's a lot of stigma based around mental health, especially around men and teenage boys, because of the phrase man up and the idea that you guys are always supposed to be strong and, you know, the women are fragile and they can feel sad. But, like, this project is really working towards overcoming all of that stigma, overcoming the idea that mental health is something to be ashamed of, and, you know, hopefully encouraging people to speak out about it and not feeling embarrassed, because there's nothing to be embarrassed of. Suicide is the 8th leading cause of death in the United States. So I'm really happy to hear that there are projects and that there are people reaching out trying to help with this issue.
And I believe it's an even higher cause for young people.
There's like certain age groups, like 20 through 25, where it's way higher than anything else, like heart disease or anything else like that.
For the Semicolon Project, on April 16th is Wear a Semicolon on Your Wrist Day to show your support.
It would be a really cool tattoo idea.
There's a hashtag that is listed on their Facebook that you can take a picture of and show your support online. I don't remember what the hashtag is, but if you look on the Semicolon Project Facebook, you can find the hashtag and show your support for friends, family members, and everyone in the world struggling.
Yeah, and you don't have to struggle with mental illness yourself. It's just to help anyone you know who may be struggling, and I promise that no matter who you are, you have come into contact with at least one person who struggled with a mental health disorder. They're a lot more common than we perceive them to be.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. Jamel, when you hear like the whole, you know, it was a sentence that an author could have ended but chose not to, how does that apply to you and your story?
First off, I want to say that it was what I call a turning point, a complete turning point. Especially in young men's lives, there are several turning points. The graduation of high school, entering of college, graduating of college. Those are three strong points, strong turning curves, where those are life-changing moments. And honestly, that's where I feel people are needed the most. You're graduating high school, you're not sure what college you're going to. If you didn't get accepted to the college, you didn't apply to. When you're in college, how do you deal with the finance or the other issues looking up there? Or the other just issues going to class, paying for books, getting food when bills without that are not even more closed. Even graduation, one of my investments. These are the places where someone is needed the most. And hearing all this information is just awesome, because granted, I have my two friends, but if I didn't have them, it's awesome to know that there's a project or there's a program out there that will help some other people who may not have them. Somebody that would just be there to listen. I'm actually really excited. I'm actually happy good.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that the times in your life that are major transitions is what you feel when people need the most support.
Oh, definitely.
So when I sit here with a group of young people who are close to graduation or will graduate within the next year or two, and it sounds like you've already gone through that, you know, graduation from high school, what advice would you give them?
Don't be afraid to speak out. There's a lot of, especially in high school, there's the term friend is used a lot. People on Facebook or whether you have Instagram or Twitter or whatever you may use, Snapchat, that the term friend is used too common. It's okay to have one friend, two friends that you can open up to. And when you have that one friend you can literally talk about anything to, it's very, very helpful. I can't even stress it enough. To have someone you can talk to about anything, no matter what it is, it has to be someone that you trust, of course, because you don't want to say something that they tell the world. But to have someone you can truly confide in, you trust, and not just a one-way street, but you both can speak to each other, that is what, honestly, that is what helps make life just that much easier. If I could tell anyone, because honestly, the friends I do have now, I didn't think they were friends back in high school. And here I am a few years after graduation, and I realize now that they are the only ones who I consider acquaintances who are really friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to speak with them. It's okay to be honest with them, because if you're not honest with them, then who else can you be honest with? First of all, you have to be honest with yourself. And I would really say to anyone, get you a crew of two, three, not too many, but just enough of people you can trust and you can talk to. That is what's most important.
I am with you on that one.
Also, I do want to say, for those who are in high school, if you could get a mentor or somebody in a higher grade, or someone who's just a little bit more mature than you may be, we all know, we might want to say, oh, I'm very mature, I'm there. Someone who may be older than you, someone who you might be a certain part of the same club, you're a freshman, he's a senior, or she's a junior, and you're a sophomore, even if it's a one-year gap, that will really help. Have someone who's going through something tell you what they're doing, so when it comes to your time, it's not a big shock or a big surprise, like, or what they expect you to do. You can get someone that will help you. I know when I was in high school, we spoke with, I believe like fourth or fifth grade. We went to their school and we talked to them. And even to this day, I see some of them and they're like, hey, Jamal, I remember you taught me this and I'm ready for it now. And that's a great feeling as being the mentor, as well as turning it around, being the one who gets to see your mentor later on. I say, thank you so much for teaching me or showing me or warning me about this. So this once again, it's just having someone to give advice, someone that can teach you something. And honestly, all of that is like, all of that put together is what really helped me in my situation. So I would definitely pass that on to someone else.
Yeah, and like you said, being a mentor can be just as rewarding, especially because I think like teaching someone something can, without you even realizing it, teach yourself something. Like the words coming out of your mouth, you can suddenly realize like, oh, maybe I should start doing this. Like, it's a really important thing. And then the person that you mentor, they can mentor someone else, and it's like a chain of positivity.
Instead of being negative or talking down to someone, build someone else up. Positivity is contagious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even just helping one person can make all the difference. Like, if someone looks sad in the hallway, you could literally just saying one nice thing to them could change their entire
even just,
day.
Like, smiling
smile.
At them. Yeah.
Yeah, just
smile. Definitely a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Shall you need quotes, guys?
Yeah, does anyone have any quotes they'd like to share?
Yeah, I've got a quote. We all make mistakes, however, that should not define us for who we are. But those who cannot forgive us for being home are not worthy of our time. And that was on the semicolon Facebook. And I picked that one because I think people who It's kind of like the quote, those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind. And it's true. I mean, if someone really cares that much about you, then they will help you get through something. They won't judge you for it. So
mine is, it was only a sunny smile and a little it cost in the giving. But like the morning night, it scattered the light and made the day worth living. And this is by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And I chose this quote because poems are nice and it's pleasant to the ears and it says a lot about this topic. And yeah, Sarah.
My quote is, never waste your time trying to explain yourself to people who are committed to misunderstanding you. And this is a lot like your quote, Jess. It's, if you're going through something such as a mental illness and you go to someone for help and that person gives you a hard time about it or doesn't try to help you or even makes fun of you for it, they don't matter. Like, yeah. move on to someone else, or, you know, just look at yourself and know that you are important no matter what anyone else says. Jamal, is there one last piece of advice that you'd give any of our listeners who even just know someone who's struggling or are struggling themselves?
I hate to be the go-thumb, but I was actually speaking with someone earlier, and bumped into a car in the morning, actually. And I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but I want to say it still. There was a passage I read in the Bible. It says, "For weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Whatever you're going through, it may hurt right now, but it will be better in the morning. Just figure it out. And you'll see that the outcome of staying and being here, you'll find yourself way happier. And once you admit you have an issue and kids help you be, you'll find that you'll be a lot happier and stronger mentally, physically, emotionally once you make it through.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
for
thank
that.
You.
Thank you.
Jamal, thanks so much for being with us, and I hope that we can maybe work it out sometime so you can actually come in and sit down with us and record in our offices.
I definitely love that.
Well, that wraps up our show for this week, and be sure to join us next time. Thanks to all of our listeners, and a special thanks to our guest, Jamal. I'm Sarah with co-host Jess and Dylan, and background production for this show is by Rachel Tarr.
You've been listening to Teen Talk. Be sure to tune in again next week. For show announcements and other information, find Teen Talk CNY on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening and have a great week. Teen Talk is a production of Contact Community Services and is made possible by a grant from the Offices of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services.